So today's podcast is the season two finale of Castaway. How did that happen? We started out the series recording in studio and then lockdown due to COVID-19 happened and everyone's world changed, but the podcast community powered through, and I want to say a massive thank you to everyone who listened, rated, reviewed and contacted me to say how much they enjoyed it, because I've loved it so much. We extended the series by 4 episodes thanks to how much support we got, and it definitely helped me the last few weeks. What a final episode we have for you today. A podcast queen, BBC Radio 1 Live Lounge presenter, passionate music lover, and my good mate Clara Amfo, who, like me, adores podcasts. We chat about Clara's own podcast, The City, which celebrates stories from some of London's most recognisable names, including the national treasure, Louis Theroux. Clara's incredibly diverse podcast recommendations include Thirst Aid Kit, which inspires a great discussion between us around our crushes and how it's important for women to lust, as well as the pop culture podcast Who Weekly, which, true story, was also recommended to me by Lena Dunham. This is a personal favourite episode of mine, with lots of laughs and chat. And again, I just want to take this time to say thank you for keeping me company the past 12 weeks. Thanks to all my guests and the team at Mags Creative, who I couldn't do this without. And thank you to my other half, who let me invade his games room to record. We'll be back for season 3 soon. But for now, I'll leave you to enjoy the brilliant Clara Amfo on Castaway, the podcast about podcasts. Clara Amfo, welcome. Are you
all good? Thank you for having me. I'm all good, you know, isolation situation, all of that. I'm just in my flat. It's a mess. Do you know what? It's one of those things where I think I've never felt, without getting too schmaltzy, but look, it's real life. I never felt more hashtag blessed as I do now, counting blessings very, very deeply. I mean, look, I'm still very lucky, like yourself, to still be able to work. But also, you know, I have got a lot of anxiety about my loved ones and about my mum and my newborn nephew. And I'm just like, I think it's just that balance, isn't it? Of trying to stay focused and trying to stay positive, but also being very aware that we're in the middle of a bit of a crazy time. So, you know, just trying to stay in the zone.
And it's completely natural that, you know, some days are better than other days. Obviously, you can still work, which is brilliant to have that creative outlet. And also, you've been baking, you've been doing lots of different things to keep yourself occupied while you're at home.
I have, you know, I made a cheesecake the other day and it is my pride and joy. And I'm going to make another one. I think I'm going to make a Lotus Biscoff one, because last one I made was peanut butter Oreo one. Obviously, other brands and spreads are available, Huns. But yeah.
It's so important that we still have these outlets, that they're still going, radio's going, podcasting is going. And I know for you, you're a big podcast fan.
I love podcasts so much, to the point where, and I was actually starting to feel a bit guilty, actually, I was listening to podcasts more than music at one point. I think it's leveled out again now, but there was a point where, because, you know, like, you know, listening to music is my job and listening to new music is really important. But there was a point where I was just like, oh, could listen to someone's new album, but also really want to catch up my new favorite podcast. But yeah, I just love the art of it. I love conversations. I run a lot, and I definitely recommend running to podcasts, because I think it just helps you zone out a bit more. And, you know, by the time you've finished one, you've like ran like 5 to 10K without having to be really conscious of it or being distracted by a song with like a heavy beat that might put you on a different pace. Do you know what I mean?
I'm completely the same. I got into podcasts when I was training to do a half marathon. Now, Clara, I never even ran a 5K. Actually, I don't think I've even ran a 3K at that stage. So I was like, how am I going to build myself up to this? So I got into podcasts because I realized with songs, I was counting songs. I was like, okay, that's about a 3-minute, 4-minute song. How many more songs do I have to do? And then I thought, you know what? Listen to an hour podcast or half hour podcast and the time just flies.
Exactly. Yeah, because, you know, what the average song is about 3 minutes for dorky, geeky radio people. Shout out, because I know you're listening. You know, like they say the perfect radio song is 3 minutes and 30 seconds. Ideally, that's always been the sort of old school mentality towards songs to radio. So yeah, you can't help but think, hang on, okay, so I don't know, New Rules by Dua Lipa, that's about 3 minutes 47. If I listen to that 3 times, oh god, I've only done like 2 minutes of running. Oh my god. But then yeah, when you're in a conversation, it's yeah, the time just goes, like, just goes, and it's great.
You do say, you said there earlier on, like, you love conversations, and it's your job. You interview people and you talk to people. Have you always been that person? Have you always been that chatty, outgoing, curious person?
Absolutely. I'm the fifth out of six children. So I've got sort of, I'd say not middle child syndrome, but yeah, fifth out of six child syndrome. Like, you know, I had to make sure that I got heard in my house. But yeah, I've just always loved chatting to people, and I've always loved listening to people's conversations. You know, it's just, we're layered people, human beings. I mean, not everyone is as they seem, and that's not a negative thing at all. And I think with podcasts, you just kind of, yeah, you just get a better insight to people. You know, there's so many people, like, you know, well-known figures, or, you know, people that we don't hear about so much behind the scenes, who have been given these amazing platforms just to share themselves with other people. And it's really powerful. And I think I've always had that interest. I mean, look, as a kid, I was obsessed with talk shows. I love talk shows. I'd watch anyone going.
What were you watching when you were younger?
I mean, Ovi, obsessed with Oprah, Ovi. Obs, like, she's just the queen of it all. Oh my gosh, like, Sally, Jesse, Raphael, Jenny Jones.
Oh my God, I remember her.
Right.
Memories.
Yeah, just old school, like, you know, like, yeah, Sky and cable TV, because we weren't getting those on terrestrial TV. And I remember thinking, what is this? And like, even the tacky ones, I mean, arguably tacky, but guilty pleasure, like Jerry Springer, Maury, you know, you are not the father. Like,
yes.
Any kind of
Ricky Lake. Remember
Ricky Lake. Like any of that. And, you know, in the car with my dad, we would just listen to like a lot of like speech radio, but as well as music radio. So I was just always absorbing like conversation, whether it was about like, you know, music or Who's the Father, or I was a geek in high school. Look at me now. Like any of that. I was just, yeah, on it.
You said you felt like you were cheating on music with podcasts. You have given me a list of recommendations of some of your favorite podcasts. And there is definitely a common theme of music running through all of them. So don't feel too bad. You're not full on cheating.
Whew. Thank you for easing my conscience.
I feel like you need to go on Jerry Springer and just announce it and say, I'm sorry, music.
Yeah.
I was thinking of you the whole time I was listening to the podcast.
Exactly.
Before I look at your recommendations, I want to say, first of all, congratulations on your own podcast, This City. What made you decide to do that?
Thank you very much. I decided to do it just because, again, I'm nosy and I love London. And I just think it's the city. I mean, look, obviously all cities are amazing and all cities are valid. And I do have plans to roll it out, FYI. But, you know, I started London because, you know, that's where I live. It's who I am. It's where I'm from, you know. And I just think it's just that city that brings out a story in everyone. And I think the great thing about the guests I've had on is that, and I say this at the start of it, you know, whether you were born here or whether you've made it your second home, it's about what it's done for you. And, you know, I spoke to lovely Nchuti Gatwa, who plays Eric in Sex Education. And he's got the most amazing story, you know, from Rwanda to Scotland to London and what it's done for him. But then, you know, I also spoke to Little Sims, who's like London born and bred, like North London girl, who's gone from like rapping to acting, like a bit of modelling here and there. Like she does it all. And like they both gave me like two completely different stories. And, you know, had Louis Theroux on, who's just, you know, I was like, hang on, did you interview me or did I interview you? Like,
I remember that was an amazing episode, because he's just a natural interviewer. He started asking you questions midway through.
Honestly, I was like, hang on, what's going on here? Like okay, but he's just brilliant. I could have spoken to him for like hours and hours and hours. Yeah. In fact, we did. We had to get a cute edit in. But yeah, everyone's got a different London story to tell. So it's just been really cool to kind of get underneath people's tube journeys and emotional journeys.
Compared with LA, London is perfectly safe.
I mean, you don't have to give me your postcode, but what's your route? Like, what are the things you enjoy taking in on your sort of...
I'll be happy to give you my postcode. It doesn't narrow it down that much. NW6.
Okay, NW6.
Which would be? There's a test
that
for you.
Is not Camden, because that's NW1.
You're stalling.
Oh, my God. Stop it. I'm saying you are Kensal Rise.
That's NW10.
Okay, come on then. All right, postcode king.
Oh, no, it's not far off. NW6 is basically Kilburn, Queen's Park.
All right, okay. So today...
What's your postcode?
I'm in E8.
You should have said E8 and then tested me to see if I knew where it was.
Damn.
So if you you're from E8, is there a snappy moniker for that? Like,
I'm just from Hackney. I'm not from Hackney.
People say N-dubs, right?
Yeah.
But is there no? Does that not exist for any other postcode?
I haven't heard any nicknames of Hackney, and I heard one sort of raw guy on the bus once call it Hackers, which literally made me physically recoil.
You didn't like that.
Hackers. I don't like that. But
I grew up in Wandsworth, which never really had a SW18, S-dubs. We didn't really, you know, in American rap, it was always, oh, I'm from Sacktown. Or, you know what I mean? They were in general, Chi-town. There were like...
Dirty South.
Yeah. And so in London, but we didn't really, in London, we struggled with that. I had friends who lived in Putney, so I tried to, for a while, using rhyming slang, saying like, you're going over to Mango Chutney.
Really?
Yeah, it didn't catch on.
I actually know what, that doesn't surprise me.
It did not catch on.
For me, listen to someone who wasn't born in London, was born in another country, but has made London their home for the last 12 years, I really connected with it because, as you said, there's a lot of people who aren't from here, but London is just, I know, for me, one of those cities that it's my home. And at some stage, I'll probably have lived here more than I've lived back in Ireland.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, that's the thing. And, you know, I think there's just this Dick Whittington sort of romanticism or mythology of, like, you know, someone strolling through the streets wide-eyed, like, oh, my gosh, I'm in London. Like, you know, like, I just love that image of the people that I've spoken to, just of what it's done for them. So, yeah, you'll have to come on soon.
Yes, definitely. Also, London for, like, what it is and all its good points and bad points. Louis Theroux mentions, I think you offered to get him a car into studio, but he wants the cycle. But then he talks about how he's had two bicycles stolen within 48 hours. I'm like, yeah, that's London for you.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, and also, he didn't wear a helmet, which I was very upset about. I was like,
so and also, well done for bringing that up, because you brought that up, because you could have said nothing and you went, I noticed there's no helmet with your bike.
Yeah, and now if anybody sees him out and about and they listen to the podcast, I want them to pull him up mm-hmm. on his safety, because he must be protected at all costs. So, you know.
He must be. A national treasure must be protected.
That's it.
Who would be your dream person to have on? And it doesn't have to be for the City of London, for any city. What city would you like to talk through with anyone?
You know what? Outside of the UK, I would definitely love to do a New York one just because, you know, like, again, New York's just got those parallels where it's just that city where people go, you know, like just to quote unquote to be somebody and to make it. So I think if I was going to do it in New York, I'd probably want to talk to somebody like, you know, like Chloe Sevigny.
Oh, I love her. The coolest woman ever. I just love how she dresses.
She's fab. She just had a baby, actually. But I just think she's such an interesting actor, and she's just New York to the core. Like, my brother's married to a New Yorker, and when they got married a couple of years ago, we went to their reception, which was in a local pizza parlor, Ovi, in Chinatown. So New York. And Chloe was, she was sat in the restaurant next door, and I was like, oh my God, it's Chloe. But yeah, you know, she's really cool. Like, she's somebody that I would definitely like to talk to. But I think inside the UK, I think Manchester is just a city that has just got, I mean, there's so much heart and so much depth and so many icons who've come out of there. Like, I just, I wouldn't know where to start. I mean, you know, do you talk to like one of the Gallaghers? Obviously you can't get them both together. Do you speak on a more serious note? Do you speak to somebody who was, you know, at the Ariana show and how that's affected them since? Like, there's so many stories to tell and so many amazing people that have come out of there. So I think, yeah, UK, Manchester and America, New York for sure.
And no one's story is the same for a city. And even just listen from the London story, like I mentioned, like Louis Theroux, and I found out Louis doesn't actually live that far away from me. So now I'm going to be a bit stalkerish and just kind of look around and see if I see a man cycling with no helmet. But then you've got someone like, Mark Ronson, who I think, did you meet him in Chiltern Firehouse?
So he was staying there. That's his, his local hotel. Casual. Yeah, he was staying there. But I met Mark, oh gosh, I want to say about 8 or 9, maybe 10 years ago, but he used to DJ sometimes at a club night that a couple of friends of mine run called Yo-Yo, which is like this wicked old school, like hip hop and R&B night used to happen in Notting Hill Arts Club. They still put it on occasionally, like one off. But yeah, you know, again, he had a really interesting story just because like he is that mishmash of like London and New York. I mean, you can hear it in the way he speaks. But yeah, it was really interesting talking to him and just how, like, you know, where he truly calls home.
Your first podcast does have that music influence, and it is I'm a big fan of Ramesh Ranganathan anyway, very funny man, but especially this particular one, because this is Hip Hop Saved My Life.
I love this podcast so much. I mean, I love Romesh. Romesh is hilarious. I mean, surprise, professional comedian.
Thank God, it'd be terrible if he wasn't.
Right. But where did me and Romesh first meet, actually? I can't remember where we first met. No, do you know what it was? I had listened to the podcast because I was such a fan, and I DM'd him straight up and I was like, yo, let me come on because I feel like I need to be on this.
So wait, you listened to the podcast and that's why you contacted him?
Yeah, that's how we first got chatting. I DM'd him. I was just like, your podcast is wicked. I think I'd added him in it because I'd shared the episode that I really enjoyed, and he was like, oh, thanks for the love. And I was like, can I come on, please? Just because I think it's such a great concept, and for me, my favorite episodes of it are the ones where he's not talking to rappers, when he's talking to people that aren't professional rappers. I think for me, those are the true gems, because it's just such a great way to see how this art form has related to different people. Like Edith Bowman's episode is wicked. Mm-hmm. There's a great episode with Catherine Ryan, which is really, really good. And it's just such a great insight into people's lives, but just told via this medium. It's just really, really interesting.
Yeah, as you said, you mentioned some people there that you necessarily wouldn't think would show up on a hip hop podcast, but also the power and influence of hip hop over the years. What hip hop artists have really influenced you?
Oh, gosh. I mean, so many. I mean, like, hip hop music is just, it just means so much to me. Mm-hmm. It's just, well, it's poetry, it's political, it's party music. It's date music. It can be whatever. And I think, you know, for a genre that was called a fad when it started, you know, so many naysayers, and it has become a culture and a business that has lasted over 30, like coming up to, 40 years. Like, it's incredible, you know. Do you know, the Jamie Redknapp episode was really good, actually. That was wicked. Again, like, his knowledge is like, it was so surprising and so passionate and such an enjoyable listener. And I love how Romesh brings that out of people, you know.
And there was one I remember listening to, Romesh and Dynamo. And it was just so interesting, Dynamo growing up and how he always felt the outsider, and he was very badly bullied when he was younger. And then finding magic and also hip hop music and certain artists. And he was like, when you get, you know, when you kind of strip back the bullshit sometimes that's surrounded by hip hop and the bravado and, you know, the big cars and all that, like the actual meaning behind it. And there was like certain artists that really helped him kind of get through really tough stages in his life. And I just actually kind of got me into hip hop artists that I didn't know about beforehand. And it's a brilliant listen.
Some of my friends from school who were the cooler kids, and just, you know, they always had like the coolest music and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And I just wanted to be kind of part of that group. So I kind of adopted hip hop
because almost of forced that. Yourself to like it.
Yeah, yeah. But like then through it, I felt like I learned so much, like, because if you know the good artists, you know, people like, even like Tupac, you know, they're it's very well read, and you know, it teaches, but it's a lot of it's about history, you know, it's about, you know, you actually get to hear about what people are really going through. If you listen past the, you know, the cliches, you know, the swearing, talking about girls, talking about, you know, what balling, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Not actually, girls, bitches, man. Yeah?
Exactly, yeah. You know, if you kind of listen past that and get to the good stuff, then there's actually, you know, a lot of super intelligent people in hip hop that are worth learning from. I mean, my favourite artist today, at the moment, was two, but my favourite UK artist who just educates me all the time is Akala.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you know, he's unbelievable,
the kids at school, it should be syllabus, but they have to listen to Akala's Five in the Booth, because, like, that's an education right there.
You know what, I think still, even though the culture has been around for so long, there is still this perception of bravado. But then, you know, that's born out of the fact that, you know, a lot of hip hop artists come from, you know, working class backgrounds, or in some cases, like extreme poverty. Mm-hmm. And it's that thing of like, okay, so when you make a bit of cash, you're going to show off. It's like, I made it. There's definitely also been a more conscious side, a more mm-hmm. political side, a more romantic side, which doesn't always get the attention, you know, that pop culture likes to give, like, to the other side of things. Like, you know, it's so funny how it has trickled down so much of things that we say casually, like even like the phrase like bling, you know, you'll see that said on like QVC on the shopping channels. Like, that is so amazing and hilarious to me, like that how this culture has affected a commercial shopping channel.
That is the incredible Romesh Ranganathan. And I think it's been going for about 5 years now, that podcast. It's been going for quite a while. It's a great one. Check it out.
Yeah, for ages.
So we're going to move on to your next one, which is also music influenced. And the writer is Ross Golan. And I didn't know who Ross was before this podcast.
Yeah,
but so he's written for everybody.
I absolutely love this podcast because, again, I think, you know, as a music lover, you know, music broadcaster, I've always been obsessed with songwriters more than artists, actually, I would say, over the years, just because, you know, I mean, obviously there are artists who definitely write their own songs, but I think there are so many unsung heroes, no pun intended, who don't get the shine that they deserve. And to be honest, some of them don't want that, which is in itself really refreshing. But, you know, for me, I'm still somebody that has, even I've chucked out loads of my CDs, you know, Rituals, was getting a CD and getting the notes and just scanning it to see who wrote what, who played the drums here. Thank you. That was always my favourite part of getting a CD. And I would love to kind of see the repeated names across different projects. But okay, so and so produced that. Oh, and they worked on this album. Oh, and they wrote that. And I think, you know, this podcast is such a great celebration of that. And he just speaks to absolutely everyone, and it's just so cool, like hearing all the stories behind like these big hits, you know, just to big up those people that don't always get the praise that they deserve.
You mentioned the CDs thing there that you've gotten rid of. I've got so many CDs, Clara. I've got so many. I can't, they're like babies. I can't get rid of them. I don't listen to them. I still have a CD player and I still have a DVD player. I'm like old school, but I don't use them. And I'd like you, I love the sleeve. I remember the first thing I used to do when I'd buy an album was open the sleeve up, go through like the thank yous, go through who wrote songs. I remember when Guy Chambers was really famous because he wrote all the songs with Robbie Williams, and he was like, oh, who is this super famous songwriter? And, I remember years ago when One Republic were in the charts a lot and Ryan Tedder came on. But like Ryan Tedder is probably best known for writing Beyonce songs and Adele songs as much as his own band. And
exactly.
I became obsessed with songwriters.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's such a gift, like, you know, to be able to sing in itself is an amazing thing. But to put pen to paper, some people have got a God-given talent, like to pluck certain words together, form them into sentences that just make things that just imprint on us for life. It's amazing.
I always wondered though, do you ever think they get a bit pissed off? Like, imagine like writing a song for Dua Lipa and then she gets really famous with it and everyone knows that song and they all assume that she's written it, because a lot of people assume that the artists write the songs. And a lot of the time they do. But imagine doing that and then not getting the glory. Do you ever think, I don't know, I always think like, do songwriters get a little bit pissed off? Because a lot of them started out wanting to be
real stage. Talk. Oh, absolutely. I definitely know songwriters who still absolutely want to be, you know, want to be artists and stars in their own right. And I completely get that, because again, it's like, you've got this God-given talent and yeah, you want to get your roses. But then I also know songwriters who are like, don't even look at me, don't talk to me, let me just, here's a song and go for it. And I'll tell you a great example of that. And she's only just really started coming out of her shell. I'm sure you know who I'm about to say, but Sia is a fantastic example of that. You know, she was singing with 07 for years, like very, very low key. You know, she's been putting out music as a solo artist for ages, but was very much like, look, take my songs, but don't pay attention to me when I'm going to the shops. I'm not trying to be out here on a front cover of any magazine. I just want to write my songs, collect my check and mind my business. And like slowly but surely, she's been coming out of her shell, but even still, she's got a wig covering her face.
Yeah, like, we'd have no idea who she was if she was walking down the groceries tonight. Like, no idea.
Unless you're a super, super fan, you probably wouldn't even know it was her. And like, and I think that's pretty amazing. I think that's kind of magical, you know. But yeah, I can completely get and would understand like why some artists like still want to get their time to shine, because again, to write a song and to have it affect people must be such an amazing feeling. You want in on that for sure. The ego's like, come on, give me.
I know. And like, I'm looking at, as I said, Ross Golan, who hosts The Writer Is, this podcast. Like, I wasn't familiar with the name, but I'm looking at the list, Clara, of people you've worked with. And I mean, Demi Lovato, Justin Bieber, Nicki Minaj, Keith Urban, James Blunt, CeeLo Green. Quite a mix of people.
And I love it, because that's why no one says no to him when he asks them to come to the podcast. It's a safe space, because I think, you know, the way he conducts the conversations, it's just, it's very honest. It's very open. I think he understands that possible frustration with some of them, which is like, look, no, let me get some respect put on my name. I need people to know that I did that.
Julia Michaels. Julia, like, because she's this incredible writer, but she's this incredible artist. I saw her perform the other night. She was very kind and invited me up when she was opening for Pink at the Staples Center. We got up and did peer pressure. So I've really experienced her fully as an artist now, as well as mainly beforehand experiencing her as a writer. And she's obviously very young in this whole experience. She's only like in her early 20s, and she's achieved so much. So she's totally wise beyond her years. And we both meet brilliant writers who've been doing this for all sorts of numbers of years. But to find somebody so so talented and successful so young, with such a wise head on her shoulders, she's taught me, even in the time I've known her, a lot about, I guess, what I want to do going forward and how I want to be as an artist and a writer. So pretty indispensable.
She's a huge heart.
Yeah, she's big time.
And I think there's that thirst as well, just for us as listeners, to kind of know what goes on behind closed doors in the music industry, because it's a side that we don't really see or get to see. And I do know, I'd never heard of that podcast before, so thank you, Clara.
Oh, do you? Because I knew you were going to like it. I was like, she's good.
I like it. I'm in it. Yeah. I'm in it now. With the recommendations here, I love it. I do it selfishly for myself as well. And every now and then I message different people online. And one person who I really want to get on the podcast, but I actually haven't asked her yet because I'm too scared to ask her, is Lena Dunham. Because I know she loves podcasts. She DM'd me randomly. I was like, oh my God. And I actually asked her what podcast would she recommend me listening to? Because again, I'm like, if this is someone I really like and I just think she's a genius and I love her writing, I was like, I wonder what she listens to. And she said a podcast that's on your recommendations, which is Who Weekly.
Oh my gosh, I love Who Weekly so much. I'm obsessed with it.
So basically, it's a podcast that's dedicated to deciphering and celebrating pop culture's greatest, and let's be honest, sometimes not so greatest, whos and thems, and everything you need to know about celebrities you don't know. And it's hosted brilliantly by Bobby Finger and Lindsay Webber. Tell me a little bit about this podcast, Clara.
I love this podcast. It genuinely makes me laugh out loud every time I listen to it. And it's you know, when you listen to those podcasts, you think, where have you been all my life? Because these are conversations that I have with myself. And so to hear two people, you know, think about and discuss things that I'm always like, yeah, it just makes me laugh so much. So this podcast does a great job at exploring just the bonkers nature of what it is to be a quote unquote celebrity, and the levels of it and the silly politics of it. They focus on the difference between who's and them. So like, for example, Beyonce, them, right? Let's just say Cindy Crawford, very much a them. Dua Lipa, a them. But then again, this is no shade. This is no shade. But like, I don't know. They might mention an actor who was in, I don't know, a sitcom in the early 2000s, and people be like, sorry, who? Yeah. And then you have to remind yourself, like, oh my God, yes. And then it's all about the conversation around that. But then like current who's, it's so shady, but in a loving way. Like it's definitely not a malicious listen at all. Mm-hmm. Like it's very cheeky. Like they're never horrible to anybody, but it's very cheeky. And the funny thing is they've actually had people that they've discussed call up before to join in the conversation. Lena called up actually. Mm-hmm. One episode, because everyone who's involved in the business being like, look, this is silly. We all know it's silly, so let's get into it.
And last night, when I was getting into bed, I was like, I'm going to listen to another episode of Who Weekly. I said to Ian, I was like, do you mind if I just play this loud? And he's like, yeah, fine. So as I was playing Who Weekly, the whole time he kept saying, Who are they talking about? But who? Who is that? And I'm like, this is exactly the point of the podcast.
Point, babe. That's the point. Exactly. They've got a section called What's Rita Ora Doing? And oh, yeah. My God. I'm sure she's aware, and I'm sure she gets it, like, because they genuinely like love her. And the thing is, Rita is fucking fab, though. Like Rita is, first and foremost, is an amazing vocalist, which I don't think she always gets enough chops for. She's a brilliant singer, but she's really good at being famous. Like she's really good at it. Like she's fun.
I think there's about three Rita Oras. That's what I think. I mean, because there's no way she can be everywhere.
No, well, this is it. And you will never hear that girl complain. You will never, ever, ever hear her be like, oh my God. Like she's just having a laugh. And, that section they have dedicated to her is brilliant. Because I think that, you know, in obviously we know and love her in the UK, but I think Americans perceive her a little bit differently, hence why they've got that bit dedicated to her.
What was she wearing? Where was she seen? She posted what on Instagram? She's the Who Queen. Tens of people want to know all about the number one. What's Rita Ora up to?
Who is this woman?
Rita's getting nostalgic, first of all. She's been posting a lot of, like, just throwback performances because, like, old concert
footage, not concert, but like festival footage of her singing. And she's like, she was singing Anywhere, Anywhere Away With You. Thanks for having me be a part of Best of Capital, Capital Official. I can't wait to do this again. And it's like, it's an old
She's doing
photo.
Every single performance that she's asked to do in quarantine. Like, she also is like saying yes to everything.
She's singing with Liam.
She's also like hanging out with lots of cute animals.
She's hanging with a lot of cute animals because, again, they're in the country in the UK with her friends in that Airbnb or whatever. And they're kind of riling up the locals. Never forget, we talked about how the locals are getting mad at her. So she's toning it down. But they're doing like, they're finding activities. And a few days ago, they hung out with some pigs at a farm. And now they hung out, they're hanging out with puppies at some, I don't know, puppy giveaway, kennel, I don't know. Best Sunday ever. It's the cutest puppies. And she's cuddling with them. It says Puppy Sunday. She also befriended alpacas in a tribal print poncho, leggings, and her favorite Adidas, which was not on her Instagram. It was one of the people she's quarantined with, I think. It's a designer named Jana Sasha. I went on her Instagram. She doesn't have any followers. She seems very fun, but that's where the photo of Rita
in
a poncho.
She's a fun, cool designer with coral hair.
Yeah, she's fun. She seems very fun. Yeah. And she hung out with alpacas. It's like, what else is there to do in the country?
Uh-huh. She's bored, you can tell.
She's so over it. She hates it.
It is just brilliant. And also, they've got this really great subsection they do, where they do special episode, like once every quarter, called Who Dat? And it's dedicated to Black Who's and Black Them. So they get their two correspondents from the Black community. I forget the name of one of the women, but one of them's called Amina. She's brilliant. And they talk about like Black Who's and Black Them's. And it's just really, really fun.
I love it. And we have to like talk about Who's and Them's. It's relative. When I was saying I was listening to it last night, and Ian was like, who? You mentioned when you were deciphering between the Who's and the Them's, you say, but obviously Beyonce is a them, Cindy Crawford is a them. I'll go back to a little story of a few years ago. I was in New York, and a friend of mine has a clothing label, and she's friends with Cindy Crawford. So talk about this situation, a small little kind of group of us. Cindy Crawford's there. I'm going to introduce to her. I introduce Cindy Crawford to my boyfriend Ian Sterling, and then she walks away, and he was like, who's that? Who's the one with the mole? He said, who's the one with the mole? And I was like, do you know what? I just feel that podcast he needs to listen to, and everyone's a who.
Wow. A whole Cindy Crawford.
I was like, Cindy Crawford. And which one's that? And I was like, supermodel? I was like, what? I don't know. How does a guy in his 30s not know who Cindy Crawford is?
Incredible.
I worry. I would like to thank you, Clara Amfo, for bringing this into my life. First aid kit.
Oh, I love it.
And I feel a little bit naughty. This is one I listen to alone.
Oh, look, you know what? First Aid Kit, I absolutely love. So it's hosted by a very good friend of mine, a brilliant writer, Bim Adewumni. She's now based in New York, actually. And she hosts it with her friend, Nicole Perkins. And it's just really naughty. And it is a celebration of what it is to fancy people, lust, sexuality, and all the fun feelings that go with just being thirsty. That they've been really, really good at just celebrating the fact that women are horny too.
yes, they are. I love it because lust, as you said, lust is a feeling, and First Aid Kit, they're saying the word thirst is the performance of that feeling. And yeah, it's about the ways, I suppose, women express their desire, and particularly, I don't know, going through different stages, just as for myself personally, as a girl growing up, you know, you get the teenage years and you don't know why you're so in love with this boy band. You know, like you're obsessed with them. It's this kind of teenage kind of fanatical lust, and then you kind of grow up and there's different kind of men and Hollywood stars and musicians, or it could be the guy who lives down the road that you lust after. And the Colin Farrell episode, because obviously as an Irish person resonated with me, and his eyebrows and his accent.
Side note, can we talk about Normal People? That is it, Paul Mescal?
Paul, who plays Connell.
I binged that shit in a day, and I was like, wow, men of Sligo, apparently
it's the most sex on BBC in a drama ever.
I saw a lot of that sex, and I definitely agree.
And it's okay as a woman to lust after. We don't talk about that enough.
We really don't. You know, I think there is so much pop culture and like songs and movies and advertising. So much is put on straight male gaze and like what men think is like really hot and horny and whatever. And it's like women are horny too. you know, yeah. No matter who you fancy, no matter who you date, we want to get our kicks. And I think this this podcast is just a wicked celebration of that.
Who do you lust after?
Oh gosh, I fancy everyone at the moment. Look, I'm single.
Yeah, how is are you isolating alone?
I am. I'm isolating alone. I've been consciously single for a while. I had to process an old waste man.
That's why this is why you watch Normal People in one day, Clara.
Like everyone, look, man. I've been actively dating for a long time. had some hits, had some misses, and then like last year I made a decision. I was like, you know what, Clara, take care of yourself, stop taking rubbish, stop taking shit, and just concentrate mm-hmm. on you. And I can honestly say, hand on heart, I've had the best year just looking after me and just remembering and mm-hmm. finding out like what I like and taking care of myself, just living my best life, Laura, you know.
It is great. I was going to ask you who would you like to see talked about in that, but I think we know already. It's Paul from Paul Mescal, the actor from Normal People.
Very attractive.
What is it about him though? Because he doesn't say an awful lot.
Well, I mean, do you know what it is? Like, we fall in love with characters, don't we? I mean, I don't know the guy personally. I mean, I wouldn't mind.
Because he's on Instagram and I think he put up a clip of him playing the piano and singing a song. I was like, oh God.
Here we go.
He sings as well.
Here we go. I mean, he's definitely in my list at the moment. I fancy so many. It's really bad. I fancy like quite a lot of people. I've got a good big crush on Virgil van Dijk as well. He plays Liverpool.
Yeah.
He's very attractive. Yeah, he's fit. I'm in love with Andre 3000. I'm convinced we're going to get married one day, but...
Andre 3000?
I love him. I love him so much.
Is that always? Has this been a long time?
Yeah, this has just been forever. He's just mm-hmm. magical. And like one time I was in New York and I went into a pizza parlor and I had a picture of him up there with all the staff with a big slice of pizza, and he just looked really angelic and just lovely. But yeah, so I could really go on. I fancy a lot of people. But then that's why this podcast is so good, because the way they dissect pivotal moments of thirst, like they will talk about particular scenes in a film or a TV show or a picture of them, and it's just like, yeah.
And I love Bim and Nicole, because you kind of just feel like you're with your mates, aren't you? Just get a glass of wine, have a cup of tea and have a little natter and talk about who you fancy.
Well, this is it. I think for anybody wanting an insight into how women talk about potential like new crushes, potential new boyfriends, this, that, whatever, this show is such a great listen. Yeah, and at the end, they do fanfic, and it's very like, it's very naughty and sort of like Tumblr-esque, like teenage fanfic. I think with Chris Evans, obviously not mm-hmm. that one off of the radio from the UK, Captain America.
Oh, Captain America, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was honest. He called them up.
He was actual Chris Evans, like came on it. He was very gracious and he was such a good sport about it. You could tell they were being so giggly around him. But yeah, they both made up stories about him. And then you have to decide like who wins, like, I think on their Tumblr. But mm-hmm. that's always the funny bit.
We love you guys so much that we conspired to have Chris Evans call us during his lunch break from the set of one of the last Avengers movies.
Kind of chaos here on set. We're in the final week of filming these Avengers movies, and everyone's just scrambling.
Luckily, we got all of our own inappropriate thirsting out of the way before we talked to him. But just hearing his voice, the timbre, the just like that laugh, you know, that little giggle. Ugh. Yeah.
That was special.
Well, we won't keep introducing. Let's just get to it.
The first thing we're going to mention, truly, because we have to, is the Cap beard.
Right.
Right. You said that like you knew what we were going to ask.
Right.
I don't know if you know this, but people fucking love the beard.
Well, that's good. That's good, because I really like it, too. I mean, it was... I usually live my life with a beard. I'm not a huge fan of shaving, and it provides a little bit of anonymity at times. And I was really excited that the Russos and Marvel were willing to kind of give that look a shot. I think it's cool. I think it just changes things up. We've seen Cap the same way so many times. He's such a throwback. He's such a classic. It kind of gives him a little bit of a modern vibe.
72% of trailer chat based on the trailer was because of your beard. Like, people kept people kept looking at the trailer because of your beard.
I don't know if you know that, but now you do, and now you can't unknow it. Yeah, shout out to your beard. It's done some real work. You should pay it a separate check.
Hey, I wish he were here to thank you, but sadly he's been shaved.
Oh, damn it.
Aww. You could easily do one with the other Chris Evans as well, because a lot of people... But easy thirst after our Chris Evans in the UK.
I mean, personally, not my cup of tea, but if you like it, I love it. If you fancy Chris Evans off of radio, fantastic.
Serious question though, because a lot of the men and the people that they talk about on that show are people that realistically the majority of us will never meet. I know from my job and your job, we get to meet a lot of people and mm-hmm. you get to interview a lot of people. I remember joking with my other half about, you know, when Friends, they have the list of five people
yeah.
like, that you kind of can laminate and you're like, they're the five people. And Ian's like, we can never have that list because the chances are you will meet them. So you must get to meet and interview a lot of people that you'd like to thirst after. And then it's different. It kind of takes away the thirst a little bit when you meet them.
Yeah, sometimes I'm just like, Clara, you fucking idiot. You were so giggly. You were so, and you try not to be. You're just like, hold it down. Hold yeah. it down. Like, you know, always try and be professional, but sometimes you just can't help it. And then some people, you're just like, oh, you're really just like a normal bloke. Like, okay, cool, whatever. Like, I almost don't fancy you. Or you, yeah. or the thirst kind of changes. Like, I think there's people that you lust after, then you meet them and it becomes more of an admiration. And then, yeah. especially when they talk about how much they love their wife and kids, you're just like, oh, you're just lovely. It becomes a more respectful, a more refined thirst, I think, after, if they're really nice. You know.
Has there ever been an embarrassing interview? Like, I remember meeting Dave Grohl and I was a big fan growing up. I just, for some reason, I was like, I just couldn't stop smiling and grinning. I'm like, oh, Laura, play it cool, would you?
Oh, for sure. And I've interviewed him too. And he brings out of you because he's just such a warm and welcoming kind yeah. of like person. You can't help but smile when he chats to you. Do you know what I mean? He's just got that vibe. But yeah, I think I was a bit like that with Pharrell, actually.
Yeah,
because he's another one. He's always been like a massive like crush, and I'm just such a fan of his talent. Mm-hmm. Like he's, you know, like I think there was some crazy statistic that at one point in like 2004, 2005, like him and his production partner Chad from Neptunes, they were mm-hmm. on 30% of American radio. Like it was stupid. Yeah. Like all the people they, you know, hits for, like Justin, like Britney, like Nas, Khalees, like whatever, just crazy. But yeah, meeting him and interviewing him for the first time, yeah, I was like, oh, for God's sake. You know when your cheeks hurt so much from smiling? Yeah. That was like how I was after I stopped talking to him. I was like, oh, for God's sake, like you could have just, could have relaxed. He was very gracious, but yeah, that was definitely a bit of a moment.
You've given me some great ones here, so I want to try and squeeze in as many podcasts as I can. The Dissect podcast, particularly the last series, which was just completely dedicated to Beyonce.
Yes. So Dissect is a podcast I absolutely love. It's hosted by this guy called Cole Kushner, and he's just a massive dork, which I love. I love musicology, and I love how people break down things like, oh, you see how this chord sequence goes like this and it's played in this minor key because that affects how you think about this. And I'm just like, oh my God, give me more. And it'll kind of give you a history lesson as well. And the Beyonce series is fantastic, and it's all about the Lemonade album. And just the politics behind it. And obviously what Beyonce was going through with Jay-Z and the infidelity and just her sort of rediscovering herself as a woman and the upset that she caused with Trump's America, shall we say. It's just brilliant storytelling. And there's a series dedicated to Frank Ocean and to Kanye. And it's just, I really would recommend it to anyone because it's just like a history lesson in a podcast. It's great.
Yeah, it is. And he does dissect everything. He starts with, do you remember when it went viral, that footage, that sees whatever horrible person released it to the public, which they probably shouldn't have, which they definitely shouldn't have. But it was the in the lift with Solange and Beyonce and Jay-Z and that whole thing kicked off. And like, I think people are due their privacy, but I want to know what was said.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Like, come on. One of the biggest stars on the planet, her sister and her husband in a lift, and her sister is going at her brother-in-law. Yeah. And these are people who are fiercely private, you know, private. It's not like Beyonce and Jay-Z are doing like in-depth interviews with every magazine going like month in, month out. Like they keep themselves. So to see that was just, it was genuinely jaw-dropping. I was like, what the hell is going on? And I think the way that Cole, the host of the podcast, starts with that, it just immediately gauges your attention. And I've had friends who've said like, you know, I started one episode thinking I was just going to do one and then save it for the rest of the week. And they just binge the whole thing in one go because you just can't stop.
That's a good podcast, though. You know it's a good podcast if you want to binge it.
Mm-hmm.
When TMZ leaked the tape a week later, the internet exploded. Memes, think pieces, blog posts, Saturday Night Live even opened their show that week spoofing the incident.
Hey, it's me, Beyonce.
The tape also got its own unofficial hashtag, What Jay-Z Said to Solange, which people used to speculate and joke about what caused the fight. the most enduring theory was that Jay-Z cheated on Beyoncé and that Solange was standing up for her sister. Many pointed to the fact that throughout the tape, Beyoncé appears noticeably indifferent. She makes little to no attempt to stop her sister, which caused people to speculate that Beyoncé thought Jay deserved it. Despite the couple's attempts to dismiss the speculation in a press release 3 days after the leak, the rumor mill continued to churn throughout 2014. There was Jay's alleged affair with a reality TV star, a New York Post report that alleged that the couple was barely on speaking terms, and an Us Weekly cover with an all-caps headline, "Beyoncé plans divorce. Enough." Meanwhile, Beyoncé and Jay never addressed these rumors publicly, and by the end of 2014, there was even talk that Beyoncé might be pregnant again and that the couple had renewed their vows. But even these rumors were undermined by photos of the two arguing in public and a rumored trial separation request. The truth was, no one really knew what was going on, and no one really would until Jay-Z or Beyoncé addressed it directly. And then came April 16th, 2016, and Beyoncé's Instagram post heard round the world. The 20-second video contained a single cryptic shot of Beyoncé leaned over the hood of a car, her face hidden behind her outstretched arm. There's a hard cut to a black screen, and a title card reads, "Lemonade, a world premiere event, next Saturday, HBO." No one knew exactly what this mysterious world premiere event was. Some said a music video or concert. Others guessed a new album. Whatever it was, it became appointment viewing, as nearly 800,000 people tuned in that Saturday night to find out. And what we got was so much more than a music video or album. It was a deeply personal exploration of identity, history, and spirituality, a visionary expression of a woman's journey from betrayal to redemption, from tragedy to triumph, from subjugation to freedom. It was the best-selling album of 2016, a Peabody Award-winning masterwork of visual art. It was Beyoncé's Lemonade. Freedom, freedom, I can't
move. Freedom, cut me loose. Beyoncé obviously is incredible. She's had so many great songs. And I mean, he dissects the lyrics so well too. And she talks about family life and how family makes you who you are. She's a storyteller in her own way. And the final podcast I want to talk about is Welcome to Daddy Issues, because I think a lot of us, when we dissect our own lives, a lot of it comes back to our family.
Absolutely.
And they're the people who shape us and the people who make us. And this is a podcast that you were on yourself.
Yes. So Daddy Issues, I think it's genuinely so, it's so important. And it's such a honestly and lovingly creative podcast. So Anne Carrad started this podcast just to explore the issue of fatherlessness, you know, whether you have got an absentee father, a father who passed away, a father that you are now estranged from in adult life. She just explores the complexities of that. And it's so, so interesting. And I wanted to discuss bereavement because my dad passed away 5 years ago. And it changed my life. And going on that podcast was a proper therapy session, actually, because I'd spoken about my father's passing a lot over the years, but I've always at the same time I've tried to be very careful with how much I speak about him and who I speak about him to, because you know I don't want his memory to be cheapened. And I said this actually when I shared my episode of her podcast, because I think, you know, when you're a public figure and you say something and it's put out there, people are going to want to go back to it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But my dad was my most favorite. I just, you know, I adored that man. And so I was very, very careful about who I speak to him about. And I think I was really up for doing this chat because I just listened to other episodes and the conversation is just very honest and very real and very healing, actually. By the end of the podcast, I think we were both a little bit teary. Because it just, it definitely opened up a can of worms that I kind of wasn't expecting.
Hi, everyone. My name is Angharad George Carey, and you're listening to Daddy Issues.
I get like this text from my cousin, and my cousin's gone, "I'm so sorry for your loss." And I'm going, "What? What? I've gone, yo, Kevin, they've just said dad is..." I was like, "Wipe your eyes. Don't let anyone know you know. My mum's not telling me, so it's not official."
Yeah.
So obviously we've gone there now. Like, I remember opening the doors and just my heart just felt a bit Oh, I just felt weird.
Yeah.
We've opened the doors and we've gone to my dad's bed,
but the guy's but still alive. And I'm just thinking,
I've gone, what?
Talk about miscommunication.
A podcast dedicated to confronting fatherlessness.
Fatherlessness often means that you end up asking these taxing questions of your identity mm-hmm. at all points mm-hmm. of the day.
At seven, it disrupts and changes childhood. At 13, it ends childhood.
But more specifically, fatherlessness in successful people.
An investor actually told me that he invests in people with daddy issues. If you have something to prove to your father, you will not stop
yeah.
until you've achieved it.
You can either go, you know, the left avenue, just living up to, you know, expectations and the status quo, which is just doing nothing or just doing the wrong things,
yeah.
you know? And I said to myself, I've got to go the other route. Yeah. And of course, it's going to be more hard work, but I feel like that's the most exciting part.
It was a sort of jet propulsion effect. Rather than it leaving me demotivated and drifting, it sort of powered me to want to get on with life.
It is an incredible world out there, and it's a gift to be living. And that's only propelled it through my father's death. Like, it's a gift to be breathing and waking up in the morning.
Thank you so much for listening, and hope you enjoyed the podcast.
This is really the first time where I've been able to openly speak about the situation. And,
yeah.
you know, now even me speaking about it, I'm just sort of thinking in my head, okay, like, you know, this made sense now. And just,
yeah.
it gives me that sense of closure because I get to talk about it.
I just feel I'm a podcast. Something happens where I just feel open. And I don't know, is it because I have the space or the safety? But I will say things in podcasts that I would never think of saying in another interview.
Oh, 100%. You know what? You're not the only person that said that to me. I've definitely had this conversation with lots of people because I think it's because the onus really is on just listening to mm-hmm. people. And knowing that you can, you know, let it all hang out. Like, you know, I'm sat talking to you in just an old hoodie and tracksuit bottoms. Like, you know,
I have a dog on my lap.
Yeah, exactly. We're just chilling. We're just, you know, we're just chatting and there's no pressure. And I think that it's friends amongst friends, you know, and it's a lovely friendship that I'm enjoying developing with the times that we catch up and see each other out and about and we chat and DM.
This is the most we've ever talked.
Yeah, but this is it. And I think, and I'm really enjoying it because it's just like, yeah, it's just a new way to get to know somebody. And I think there is just an ease and a comfort that comes with that. It's weird, you can't quite describe it.
Do you find from, like, you know, doing your own podcast compared to, you know, being on Radio 1 or being on a red carpet interviewing people, do you see a different kind of person when it's a podcast?
Oh, 100%, because I think when it comes to like my radio show, people mm-hmm. are in promo mode and there's nothing wrong with that at all, but that's just the facts. People have got an album or a single they want to promote, they definitely come in as themselves. But there's that objective. It's to come in, you give a great performance in a live lounge. We have a very brief chat before and after the performance, but it's very quick because we are literally on a clock, you know. You got 3 minutes to chat and then the artist goes back into rehearsal in the studio, then they perform, we chat in between that, but it's just a different vibe. Completely. Like, I remember I had Little Mix on the show before, and then I did a podcast episode of mine with Jade. We spoke for ages, and I just got such a better sense of who she is because she was just chilling, you know, cup of tea, talking about her life from Newcastle to London. And we just wouldn't have had that experience when she's got 3 minutes of chatting before, you know, singing DNA. I think that's what the single was at the time. Yeah.
And at this time, there's not a lot of things we can do, but we can talk and we can chat and we can listen and we'll keep on doing it.
We sure will, hon. Like, listen, I've definitely got a lot queued up to listen to as I wash my dishes. So that's
good. And keep on with the baking because I'm very impressed. My problem is I baked like 2 cakes last week and then I was like, oh, shit, I've got to eat it as well.
Well, yeah, this is the thing, because do you know what? Although you can do a safely distance like swap with some neighbours. Like my neighbour Anna just put some sourdough bread on my mat the other week. And so when I do my next cheesecake, I'm going to leave some on hers, and it's all safe and all good.
my next door neighbor, Anne, she's been baking for the road and she keeps leaving stuff. But I'm afraid her stuff is such high quality, I'm embarrassed to give her what I'm baking. So I'll just eat it instead. But maybe if I build up over here for another week or two or a few weeks or whenever, maybe it'll be good enough to be able to actually share it with the neighbors. Clara, thank you so much. I've loved this.
I've loved it.
Thank you. And that's it. Another episode down as we delve deep into my guest's audio world. I hope you get cast away by today's top podcast picks. Yeah, I just said that, sorry. All of the podcasts we've mentioned today are included in the episode show notes. Now, if you love this conversation as much as I did, please share your thoughts by leaving a review. And if you'd like to receive weekly installments of Cast Away delivered straight to your phone, hit the subscribe button. Until next time, that's it from me. Take care.